the world of the sanctuary teeters on a knife's edge. In the aftermath of revolution, celebration mingles with unease as survivors gather under cream-colored canvas tents. While others pair off into the night with relief painted across their faces, I sit alone, repeatedly stabbing my cake with a fork, appetite vanished. Something feels fundamentally wrong. Adam and James are missing, yet no one seems concerned. Everyone dismisses my worries with casual remarks. Adam made his decision. But they're forgetting crucial context. Adam pitched his immunity idea before learning Anderson was still alive. He would never willingly place James anywhere near that monster. When Nazira sits beside me, my body betrays me with that familiar electric heat. Across the room, Juliet focuses entirely on Warner. Castle made me promise to leave them alone tonight, but the knot of tension between my shoulders tightens. Why am I the only one concerned? Why does no one seem to care about my emotional state? The pristine whitewashed beams around me feel obscenely clean compared to what we had at Omega Point, a jarring contrast to the darkness gathering at the edges of our fragile peace. You're in love with her, aren't you? Nazira asks as I walk away from the celebration. Her accusation about Juliet stings. I'm too exhausted for this conversation, worried about Adam and James. I am not in love with her, I insist, heading to my tent. Our argument escalates quickly. Anderson's arrival after she revealed our location, Delaliu's death, how she bound and drugged me onto a plane. She counters, I did what I did to save your life. You have no idea what I risked. In the lantern light, her beauty unnerves me. I remember her embrace, a memory that leaves me breathless. But our trust is broken. You fly solo, Nazira. You live by a moral code I don't understand. You're unpredictable. I have no idea what your real motivations are. In my confusion, I blurt out, Jesus Christ, woman, I look at you like I'm in love with you. The admission hangs between us, raw and unexpected. Unable to face this, I retreat, leaving her alone in the moonlight. Back in my room, grief crashes over me like a tidal wave. I'm overwhelmed by longing for my mother, her comfort, humor, and gentle touch through my hair. Memories surface with painful clarity. Her laughter while cooking, singing during chores, stroking my forehead when I was sick. The pain of missing her leaves me gasping. Everyone else seems to have found their people, while I've lost so many. Castle has reunited with his child. My friends have partners anchoring them through this chaos. Yet we've lost Adam's steady presence and James's innocent reminder of what we're fighting for. Omega Point's halls echo with countless absences. I retreat to a scalding shower, letting steam create a temporary cocoon. My reflection shows a hollow-eyed stranger despite my exhaustion. Sleep remains elusive. Just as consciousness begins to fade, violent knocking jolts me awake. Brendan stands there, worried and refusing to explain. You need to hear it directly from Castle, he insists. His reluctance only intensifies my dread. Whatever has happened must be catastrophic. When I burst into headquarters, Castle confirms my worst fears. Adam and James have been taken hostage by Anderson. I argue Anderson wouldn't harm a child, but Winston quietly confirms he would. The situation is even worse. Anderson has captured all the Supreme Commander's children, not just Adam and James. My fury erupts upon learning Noria and Sam knew about this 14 hours ago. Their justification, verifying information before spreading potential falsehoods, feels hollow after wasting critical time. Sam reveals she used her ability to see across distances to locate the hostages in Sector 45. I focused on Sector 45 because Anderson would likely return to his power base in North America, Sam explains. The compound there has extensive underground facilities, perfect for hiding hostages. As the room dissolves into strategic arguments, I've already made my decision. There's only one person who truly understands what we're facing. Dawn finds me at Warner and Juliet's door, trembling as I press the doorbell. Warner yanks it open, furious in his black silk bathrobe, blonde hair disheveled from sleep. "This isn't about you," I explain shakily. "Juliet was my friend first, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't an emergency." Warner's anger shifts to concern as his empathy gift detects my terror. When Juliet appears, I deliver the news. "Anderson took James and Adam. He's holding them hostage somewhere in Sector 45. Warner's face transforms, shock followed by cold, calculating fury. Despite our differences, we're united by a common enemy and shared concern for James. Warner understands Anderson's cruelty better than anyone. In the war room, I argue that Warner's knowledge is invaluable. If anyone knows what it's like to be tortured by Anderson as a child, it's Aaron, I tell Castle. The room falls silent. I feel guilt remembering it's Warner's birthday, another celebration interrupted by Anderson's calculated cruelty. The timing can't be coincidental. As the meeting enters its third hour, an overwhelming exhaustion crashes through my body. Not normal fatigue, but something fundamentally wrong. My vision swims, lights blurring into halos. Voices grow distant as my hands tremble uncontrollably. Cold sweat breaks across my forehead before blackness takes me, Nazira's alarmed face the last thing I see. I wake on a makeshift medical cot. Sarah and Sonya explain that Nazira's flight sedatives, combined with severe exhaustion and dehydration, caused my collapse. Nazira stands apart, insisting drugging me was necessary to avoid Anderson detecting us. Juliet counters that I would have been an asset rather than liability. Despite my splitting headache and full-body weakness, I rasp, "I'm fine," an obvious lie. I try warning them about James and Adam's situation, but exhaustion proves too powerful. My words slur as consciousness slips away again. I wake alone to cricket chirps, sounds I haven't heard since I was 14, when normalcy still existed. As I prepare to shower, instinct freezes me. Someone's watching. Before I can grab my weapon, my intruder moves with supernatural speed, disarming me. I lunge through darkness. We hit the ground hard, and her scent registers, jasmine and gunpowder. Nazira. "I like you," she admits, explaining the sedative was for protection. "I've never learned how to handle these feelings." As she rises to leave, I catch her arm. "Why me?" "Because I think you might be the best person I've ever met." A blood-curdling scream interrupts us. Beyond the sanctuary, the sky splinters like broken glass, fracturing between darkness and light. Deep fissures snake through the earth. The horizon writhes, the sun performing impossible movements. We find Juliet kneeling in agony, Warner beside her. Her screams communicate with someone we cannot perceive. "Emmeline," she cries, "please don't do this." Reality bends like paper in flame. As the sky tears apart, I realize our fight has fundamentally changed.